hidden history we do around this time each Tuesday. Charles Fay is with us as per usual. Charles, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
So today we're sort of branching out a bit, perhaps going out on a limb, one could say, as we talk about the forests around Creswick. I guess one of the things that that all of the mining activity back in the day did was that it basically buggered up all the forests for a while, didn't it?
Oh, terribly. I mean, the sort of mining that went on at Ballarat was what was known as deep lead mining, which essentially, and if you can believe this, was mining rivers that were had been buried by volcanic flows. So to mine those rivers, you had to pump out all the water, but you also had to prop up all the underground workings with massive timbers. So Ballarat Gold just depleted timber at a sort of prodigious rate.
Right. So when and how bad was it before authorities decided to try at least do something about it?
Took most of the 19th century. There was absolutely no control over forestry up until about the 1890s. Basically, the only thing you had to do was to take out a license. There was no royalties on the amount of timber you could cut, and almost anybody could go into a forest with a sort of cheap license and cut down timber for pit props and mining timbers.
I guess one of the problems would have been, for authorities, would have been that even when they were trying to do the right thing, there were, I'd suggest, a lot of cowboys who'd still go, well, we don't care, we're still going to go in and log them anyway.
It certainly was. We've got this wonderful sort of collection of letters from a sort of early forester, John LaGersh, and if you read his little journals, he spends all day and sometimes into the night just sort of wandering through the sort of denuded forests around Creswick, just trying to capture these cowboy timber cutters. And he often has to stay out on Sunday during Sunday night. And, as soon as on Sunday night, during the night, the fallen timbers will just disappear.
It's amazing. I believe there was one story too of a bloke who basically, the authorities would plant new trees, but before they even got anywhere near maturity, they were gone too.
Yeah, he spent a huge. I mean, LaGersh spent a huge amount of time watching his young saplings growing up, and it wasn't only sort of timber cutters too. I mean, the forest was full of cattle and goats and things like this. So. They're all attacking the trees as well, so it was quite a battle to get the young trees to grow again.
Yeah, well, obviously they did at some stage, because it looks fantastic around there now, and it would seem to be pretty lush.
Yeah, I mean, basically in the early 20th century at Creswick, they established a school of forestry. They started to professionally train foresters. And I think it's one of the great triumphs of forestry is that if we all know the Great Wombat State Forest, which is, to the east of Creswick, wonderful sort of stringy bark forest nowadays. That's basically a product of regeneration by the sort of work done by the hand of man as much as God, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, I know it's probably very strange to ask a historian who always looks back to predict something in the future, but obviously with urbanisation, do you think any of the current forestry is going to be under threat in terms of further development for the old houses?
I'm not so much the old houses, but I think what will be under threat, one of the things about the gold fields generally is that because they didn't want to sell land that could be carrying gold, there was lots of crown land around the major gold towns. And in a place like Creswick, there was what was called a gold fields common, and that had huge stretches of public land. Well, you know, as sort of urbanisation sort of grows and the pressure from people to get out of Melbourne and, I suppose, live in a commuting distance to Melbourne, that public land is sort of conceived by many as an ideal way of setting up new housing.
Mm, watch this space. Yes, interesting. All right, Charles, listen, great to chat as always. We'll talk again next week.
Okay, catch you, Mark.
Charles Fay, Hidden History. It is the Wake Up Call on Gold Central Victoria.